there are so many things to learn that can inform what we do, and getting out of our comfort zone or out of kind of our routine plays such a large part in that.
This is Max Q, a podcast by Peabody's Launchpad office dedicated to demystifying what life is like after graduation. Every episode, we sit down with a recent Peabody alum to get their take on what life is like for a working artist in today's world. Jobs, work-life balance, finances, time management, we discuss that and more on the Max Q podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Christina Mancior. Today's interview is with Sarah Thomas, who is a violinist and chamber musician who graduated from Peabody in 2019. She currently performs with the Bergamot Quartet, who are pursuing professional studies diplomas as the Graduate String Quartet in Residence at Mannes School of Music in New York City. Sarah is also a teacher, freelancer, and works with us at the Peabody Launchpad office. Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. So to get started, could you tell us a little bit about what your life looks like right now?
For sure. So about 2 months ago, I moved from Baltimore to New York City, which has been a really exciting and a big life change in the middle of what is kind of a strange time these days. I moved to New York to actually start a degree at the Mannes School of Music with my string quartet, the Bergamot Quartet, where we're studying with the Jack Quartet as the Graduate String Quartet in Residence. So that's been a really big part of my life in the last month or so, getting started with school. I moved here from Baltimore after living there for the past 7 years. And as I've been settling into New York, I've been also teaching remotely and working at Launchpad remotely and getting back into rehearsals with Bergamot after several months off, which has been really exciting for us, socially distanced and with masks.
Can you tell me a little more about Bergamot and how that journey has been for you?
So Bergamot started playing together in 2016 at Peabody. We met as we were all in school together, some of us in our undergrad degrees and some in our master's degrees. And we started playing together because we shared a common interest of learning new string quartet music. So music that's been written in the last 15 or 20 years. We were just really curious and hadn't had an opportunity to really learn much music from that time. So we got together with the purpose of doing that and for school credit, you know. But after playing together for a while, we realized that it's something we really enjoyed and that we love working together and are really excited about this music. So over the last few years, we've been making this more of a priority, and that's really what brought us to New York to start this new degree program.
Okay, that's awesome. What is the degree program that you're pursuing right now?
It's called a Professional Studies Diploma, and it's also a brand new program within that degree for a graduate string quartet in residence. So we're the first quartet to be doing that specific program.
That's really exciting. How did you get connected with the program? If you're the first quartet to be doing it, what was that process like? Did you just apply, or did you have to work with a specific person at the school? What does that look like?
So we started being interested in this program after working with the Jack Quartet at the Banff Center for the last 2 summers, not this past summer, but 2018 and 2019, and got to work with them a lot there and were really inspired by their work. We found out that they were starting this program for the first year, and that's how we made that connection and started talking with them about being the quartet for that program.
Wow, that's great. It must be really exciting to work with them on a daily basis.
It really is. Yeah, it's been so wonderful for the last month already, even though it's remote and kind of weird circumstances, but still really exciting for us.
Yeah. So you talked about moving to New York during the pandemic, which is, of course, I can imagine an adventure. What do you feel has helped you prepare for your current situation where you're freelancing and moving to a new city, pursuing school? What do you think has helped you the most as you are in this new place?
I think a lot of the things that I'm doing now are actually things that I started doing while I was in school in the last 2 to 4 years of my time at Peabody. Not everything, but a lot of the things. And because of that, I feel like it's been a really kind of interesting transition from being in school to being out of school because, well, sometimes people say that you never have more time than you do while you're in school. But I like to think that depends on how many things you do while you're in school. For me, I kind of felt like after graduating, I was doing all of the same things, but without homework. So I felt like I had more time, actually.
That sounds nice.
Right? Now I'm back in school, so I have homework again. But in a lot of ways, I feel that the connections I made in school and the kind of part-time work that I was doing, the freelancing I was doing, and the chamber groups I made a point to play with, a lot of those continued into my life after graduation and have also continued into my life in New York outside of Baltimore. So it's been an interesting process in that way and something I think about a lot.
How did you get started with those things while you were in school? What were the first steps you took?
The first steps for me, well, the very first steps for me was being curious and trying to learn about things that I may not have thought I would be interested in at first. Case in point, I don't think I knew what new music was before I went to Peabody, and now that's like most of what I'm doing. The reason for that is primarily because of a class I took, which at that time was called Business of Music, and the teacher of that class really encouraged us to start exploring other ideas, start exploring early music if we hadn't really played any early music, or started exploring improvisation or new music or various administrative things as a way to really know what we might be interested in and see what all of the possibilities are. I took that class my sophomore year, first semester of my sophomore year, and I was a little bit overwhelmed, but it was worth it because the rest of my time at Peabody, I really was able to make a point to explore different types of classes and connections and experiences. And I feel like if I hadn't done that, I would not be doing what I'm doing now at all, because I wouldn't have taken improvisation classes and classes on new music and Baroque violin, which is not something I really do now, but still informs my playing and informs my musical ideas. I also play not new music, but new music is a lot of, it's a large part of what I'm doing these days.
I guess that links into my next question, which is how have your goals and priorities changed since you started school at Peabody and graduated?
That's a great question. In some ways, they've changed a lot, and in some ways, not so much. I've known for most of my life that I wanted to play chamber music. And so in that sense, my goals have not changed much. I didn't know what that would look like. There are times that I thought that would be not really having a regular group, but playing with a lot of different groups all the time, which is something I've also done and love doing. There are times that I thought it would be a regular group, which is now more where I am. I definitely would say that I didn't expect it would be primarily playing new music, as I mentioned before, but that's also a gift and a wonderful thing. So a lot of my goals around chamber music haven't changed, and around performing haven't necessarily changed. But some of the more specialized areas that I'm working in have changed through that process. And I also have realized that I will probably always be doing multiple things. And that may look different at different points in my life. Right now, that means teaching, playing chamber music, doing arts administration work, and also being full-time in school. I imagine that's not always going to be the case. I hope that's not always going to be the case, because being full-time in school is a lot with all of those things, but again, worth it. So I think in some ways my priorities have shifted to being open, realizing that my goals will continue to change and that what my life looks like will continue to change, but making sure I make a point to prioritize what I care about and what I love doing.
I think that's a great perspective. Do you have any tricks for staying organized with all of these different activities that you are balancing right now?
Honestly, Google Drive.
Yeah, Google Drive is great.
It's pretty much, it's a lifesaver. You know, that's still something I'm figuring out. I am serious about Google Drive. It's really, it really help is helpful with collaboration and with keeping myself organized, keeping my different projects organized, and being able to work with others on those projects when needed. That's kind of a very practical organizational thing. As far as more about time balance and time management and organization, I will say that is something I'm really trying to figure out right now because my life has changed a lot in the last couple of months. So I'm still settling into a schedule. I have a good friend who always helps me make my schedules to make sure that I schedule time to eat and sleep. I recommend finding a friend to help you do that because sometimes we tend to forget to allow times for those things. So I worked with her to make a kind of template of a schedule, and I'm now trying to follow that and assess what's working about it and what's not. My general theory as far as organization and time management is make a plan, but also be patient with yourself and understand that your plan might not work. And if it doesn't work, then change it.
Can you tell me a little more about how you started teaching and what that has evolved into for you?
Sure. So I started teaching when I was pretty young, assisting with group classes. I grew up as a Suzuki method kid. And as I kind of grew through that method, I started working with the younger group classes and assisting with those and doing some private teaching in high school. And when I came to Peabody for the first couple of years, I didn't do much teaching, but my third year in Peabody, I took a pedagogy class, and that kind of opened up some opportunities for me to start teaching more regularly. And my fourth year at Peabody, I started teaching at Chamber Encounters Music Academy, which is a school in Pikesville that does group classes and private lessons. So I taught group classes for them for a couple of years of violin students. And after a year or so, I kind of transitioned to teaching primarily private lessons, which worked well for me just based on my school schedule and being able to have a little bit of flexibility there. And I've been teaching private violin and viola lessons with them since 2016. And I'm still teaching remotely for them, a couple of students this semester.
I was going to ask, how are the virtual lessons going?
Virtual lessons have been an adjustment, but I'm really inspired and encouraged by the motivation and flexibility of all of my students, especially as we got started with remote instruction. It was very new for all of us. There are things that both my students and I have had to adjust in how we go through the lessons and how we can't really play together. So figuring out ways to demonstrate and use the Zoom muting technique to the best of our, to serve us the best that it can. So it's been a good experience. And now I find myself also on the other side of lessons now that I'm in school again and am learning to have even more sympathy for my students. And those lessons have been great also. It's important to me to be able to see both sides. And on that note, that's something that's been really interesting for me the past year, not having regular lessons and teaching regular lessons. And I do think something that's important for me is remembering what it's like to be on the student side of a lesson when teaching, because it's something that we've all experienced. But the more you get out of school and the more you get out of academia, the easier it is to forget what that's like. And I think that's something I'm remembering in the past month after kind of not having that side of the perspective for the past year.
Right. So now that you've experienced being out of school and then going back into school, what are the things that you have found that you missed the most about being in school?
Having mentors is really important. And school really allows you to have a structure around that, which I think I had taken for granted after being in school for 6 years straight. In other ways, I don't think I took it for granted because I was homeschooled, which was excellent, but it means I didn't have teachers until I got to Peabody. So in some ways that was a really new experience for me, but then I slowly started taking it for granted. And so in the past year, I think I realized that having a mentor allowed me to have some kind of structure, which is something that's really useful for me and something I'm not sure that I very effectively found a way to create for myself without a mentor. So something that I've noticed now being back in school is trying to think about why that is and how to use the next couple of years of being back in a school and kind of mentee situation to understand how I can create a similar kind of structure and maybe mentorship relationships like that after I graduate, and how that will look different, but also how I can use that sense of structure to my advantage now and create it later for myself.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Who has been one of your most important mentors during your time in school, and why was that mentor so important?
That's a really hard question because there's so many. In fact, I don't think I'm even going to say anyone specific because I just feel like there are so many people during my time at Peabody, which I'll mostly speak about that since I have only been at Manus for 1 month. But there are so many people during my time at Peabody who had a really huge influence on me, either musically or academically or and personally in other ways. And I feel really thankful for that. And that was across the board. That was applied teachers and academic teachers and staff. And I think the biggest thing about all of these mentors was a few things. Their ability to listen and be interested in what I was doing, again, whether that was musically or academically, depending, or personally, depending on the situation and depending on the mentor. And that I knew that they were invested in my well-being in those areas, and that they all spoke truth when needed, meaning that they weren't afraid to say it like it is sometimes. And that's something I really value in a mentor and I'm really thankful for.
What surprised you most about life after graduation?
That's a great question. There have definitely been a lot of surprises and some things that weren't surprises, which I guess is always nice. So when I graduated, there were a couple things that I knew. One was that I was going to stay in Baltimore, at least for that year. And the other was that I would be playing a lot with my quartet. And both of those things were true. So those were the non-surprises. I think that might be all of them. The other surprises, so I knew when I finished that I needed to find a job. I wasn't sure what that would be, especially because at that point, my quartet was living a long-distance relationship. Sharing weekends between New York and Baltimore. One of our members had moved to New York at that point. And so I was looking for a job that I could basically work Monday through Wednesday and then be traveling the rest of the week. So I spent a lot of time looking for a job with that kind of flexibility and landed in a couple different jobs that first semester. One was writing blog posts for topics I knew nothing about, which is a real adventure. There's a large range of everything from paper shredding to art installations in offices and everything else you could probably think of. So that was really interesting. It was fun and ended up being pretty time consuming. And after that, I worked at a transcription agency that did a lot of transcript editing for various podcasts or lectures and other stuff like that. And after that, I started working at Launchpad, which is where I'm still working now. So something that surprised me is, first of all, that particularly the first two jobs I mentioned, the blog post job and the transcript job, are not really something that I anticipated. I knew that I liked writing and words and editing, and so in that way, it wasn't a surprise, but the specific jobs were a surprise. But I think the bigger surprise is, although those ended up not really being a good fit for a long-term job, they really helped me develop a lot of skills, which I only have been realizing the last couple months. Skills like a really, like, really developing my attention to detail and to particularly detail surrounding words and editing and phrasing, and really informing my writing style, which is something I care about a lot. And also being able to take a piece of information, something that I have to write that I know nothing about, and make it happen in an hour, do the research, get the words out, make something that's relatively interesting and coherent, and then move on. That's something that traditionally I haven't been great at. I tend to get stuck with word choice, making sure everything is perfect and exactly like I want it to be. And that can really be a process that drags out. And so for me to really be presented with a topic that I knew nothing about and know that I have to make something convincing and coherent as quickly as I could, basically, and also understand enough about the topic to be able to do that, really developed my writing skills, but it also developed my ability to take in information quickly and to learn quickly and to adjust my style and communication style to different audiences and different topics really quickly. So these are both things that I think about often, because those are skills that are really applicable to my everyday life, whether that's sending emails for my string quartet and needing to communicate effectively really quickly with different people, or whether that's writing a grant application and noticing word choice and phrasing and all of the other skills that I was able to use in both of those jobs. So I think developing those skills was a real surprise for me in the past year. Is another surprise this past year was really that I moved to New York. I would say it wasn't a huge shock, because I had started visiting every couple weeks in the past year, but we didn't know whether we would be coming to Manus for a while. And I kind of always assumed for the last couple years that I would be in Baltimore for the foreseeable future, because I love Baltimore and I love my community there. So that has been a welcome surprise, but still a surprise, and is something I'm excited about, but also will always try to look for all of the excuses to visit Baltimore whenever I can.
With these skills that you've developed through the two sort of surprise jobs that you took after graduation, are these skills that also you find apply to your artistic work as well as different administrative work in different ways?
That's a really good question. And I have two answers. One is yes, because a lot of the, again, attention to detail and understanding different ways of communicating is something that happens every day in rehearsal and in practice and in thinking both analytically, like you might about sentence structure as you practice music, as well as thinking about communication and character, as which I might compare more to like word choice and phrasing. And so I feel that those two things are really interconnected. In other ways, I'm not sure that I would say in a lot of ways that I disconnect my more administrative related artistic work from my artistic practice, especially as it concerns doing admin work for Bergamot, because a lot of the project development and writing and communication that we do is very directly related to the projects that we end up doing and the people we end up working with. So, of course, there's a difference between writing emails and rehearsing. I don't mean that I think they're the same thing, but I do think that they inform each other, and I don't think of them as completely separately. So in that sense, again, yes, I really feel that the skills transferred to, like, very directly to what I'm doing every day.
So what's next for you in New York? What are your upcoming projects?
So projects are kind of weird this semester, right, because of COVID, but I am really excited about a couple of things that Bergamot has coming up, and we feel really fortunate to be able to still do some distanced concerts and live streams. So in the next couple months, we will be working with the Mata Junior Competition Winners, which is a competition for pre-college composers who are selected to write a piece for the resident ensemble and be mentored by professional composers who also write a piece for that ensemble. So we'll be premiering those 8 pieces on October 18th in a live stream concert. So I'm very excited about that. We just got their pieces about a week ago and have really started digging in and are so excited to get to learn music by so many wonderful composers. Later in the semester, we're working with a composer collective called Consonants, who are all either Peabody students or Peabody alums. We're working on a project with them at the Space Telescope Science Institute, which is the home of the Hubble Telescope, and it is right in my previous home of Baltimore. So we're really excited about that project. They have written pieces about the life cycle of a star and have been paired with scientists from the Institute to find images that relate to their pieces. So we'll be recording an album with them in Baltimore, partially in Baltimore, as well as a video shoot in New York towards the end of the semester. We're really excited about it. It's fun.
To start closing this out, what advice would you have for current students?
Sometimes I feel hesitant to even offer advice to current students because I feel I have so much to learn from them. But maybe that's part of my advice, is to remember that, yes, you are students, but you're also artists and musicians, and you already have artists, musicians, dancers, researchers, and you already have so much to contribute. So I want to say that first and acknowledge that. I also want to reiterate to be curious and ask questions and look for experiences that you haven't had before. Whether that means seeking out collaborations with peers, whether that means seeking out mentorship or taking a class that has, or an elective that has very little to do with your major. There are so many things to learn that can inform what we do, and getting out of our comfort zone or out of kind of our routine plays such a large part in that. And transferable skills are a very real thing and a very important thing. Both taking skills from other work or other projects and applying them to our artistic practice, and also taking skills from our artistic practice and applying them to other work. Both things are really, really useful, and I think can often be really fulfilling. So I think my 2 biggest pieces of advice are: remember that you are already an artist, and also remember that there's a lot more to learn and a lot to be curious about.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm so glad you're here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can learn more about Sarah at her website, sarahthomasviolin.com. You can also visit bergamotquartet.com to hear the group's music and subscribe to their newsletter.
Theme music for the Max Q podcast composed by Vincent Fasano.